You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
Well, I don't know how you're doing, but here on Post Show Recaps, we're over the worst day ever. It's worst day ever. That 24 season 2 recap podcast talking about episode 4 of season 2, the 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. hour, which ends in a moment that had Emily Fox saying A+. We've been laughing because we've been done with the episode for maybe like 3 minutes now. And we've just been laughing ever since.
You keep trying to silence me, though. You're like, shh, shh, shh.
And we keep being like, oh, my God. I'm like, no, save for the podcast. I'm like, shh, 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 shh. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's so fun to rewatch 24 with you, Emily.
And you said you're never going to do it again.
I'll never do it again. I think that every episode that I watch from this point forward will be the last time I ever watch one of these
episodes.
Why
do you feel that way?
Because
I feel like that's such a sweeping statement that you're probably not going to hold to.
I'll absolutely violate this. But my feeling is that I never want to watch any of these episodes again because it's just so fun to watch them again with you with fresh eyes. It's like I'm watching them again for the first time. Mm-hmm. But seeing you react to, again, we're watching episode 4, season 2, spoilers for season 2, episode 4. To see you react to the return, at least theoretically, of Nina Myers. Oh, my God.
I did like a, oh, no.
Yeah, you literally, oh, no. And then you started laughing like that. And then you go, A+. And we've just been giggling ever since.
Yeah,
she's back. Nina Myers is back in the mix.
Yes, she's
back
in the...
Yeah, I think you did say, yeah. I will use an expletive here because I'm quoting Emily. I think you go, the bitch is back.
Yeah.
Is what she said. Yes. About the return of Nina Myers in photographic form at the very least, as we are finding out that she is somehow involved in this plot, Emily Fox.
You thought she got away clean.
You thought she got away clean. Look. Jack found Joseph Wald. That's why he was brought in the first place. He chased the lead all the way down the line. Theoretically, his work is done, right?
I was pretty impressed by how succinct this was, actually.
Yeah.
Like, when he first decided to, like, shoot the crew, I was like, this is a bad idea. And then he killed everybody, and I was like, oh, okay, that worked out.
You know, theoretically, his job should be done.
Yeah.
He got the information he needed from Joseph Wald, but the information he got from Joseph Wald just so happens
it's
to
personal.
Have a very deep personal tie for Jack Bauer. So how are you going to keep Jack Bauer roped into the show? This is certainly one way to do that. So we'll talk about that certainly a lot more in the weeks ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But we could talk about it a little bit here. We are on the clock, so let's talk through the episode, Emily Fox. First of all, we are still back in time as we are recording this. I believe that this podcast is dropping the weekend of after Christmas. I'm not entirely sure. It's like the 26th, I think.
Okay.
So for those who are celebrating, we hope you had a great one. This podcast may be a lump of coal, or it is exactly what you asked for. We don't know.
I think it's a shining present.
It's a shining present.
A gift.
It's a gift. All right, let's get into the episode. It starts at 11 a.m. Jack Bauer and the Eddie Grant crew, the Eddie Bauer crew, are listening over the radio to the wreckage of CTU, and we are in the wreckage of CTU with Michelle wandering around. Tony! Tony, where are you?
Tendril stayed in place, though.
Yeah. And that should have been the tell that Tony was still alive, because if something had happened to Tony, Michelle's tendrils would have just stiffened out. She would have known.
She would have had straight hair for the rest of her life.
Her tendril signals would have shot out.
It's like a spidey sense.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
But Tony is alive. You hear him shout. He's doing a lot of shouting in this episode. I need a little help over here.
He found his voice.
He found his voice. Paula is not really finding her voice. She has been pinned underneath the rubble.
Doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good.
No, she's in rough shape this entire episode, and it's really pretty upsetting.
It's pretty bad.
And I think they do a good job in real time of being like, okay, we're all here to help, but like we have to make sure that we remove the wreckage off of her in a way that does not hurt her more.
Correct.
And that's... It's awful.
It's tough. Yeah. It's difficult. So she's not doing great. The EMT is like, we're going to need to pull this thing off of her brick by brick. We can't just pull it all off in one shot. And Tony, exasperated, goes, oh, man, this is going to take forever. He literally says, this is going to take forever.
He does.
It's great. Oh. Megan and Kim are still at CTU. Megan, who has not been feeling well, and to her credit, has been repeatedly telling Kim, I don't feel well, begins to have a seizure. So they're going to need to take her to the hospital, and that's going to be its own can of worms.
But at least she's in a location where there's a ton of EMTs and medical staff there to treat her.
They're able
right
to move
away.
Her very quickly.
This was a slow burn for Megan.
Yeah, I mean, she's going to be at the hospital within the next, and like diagnosed with enough x-rays to determine that there is a pattern of abuse here within like the next 15 minutes effectively. Yeah. So she's, you know, in safe hands as far as these things are. It's probably the safest hands she has been in all day right now.
I would agree.
David Palmer is very, very mad about everything that's going on right now with the CTU explosion.
Can you blame him?
Eric Rayburn, he's pissed at Eric Rayburn, and Eric just keeps wanting to push his evacuation plan for Los Angeles.
Which makes zero sense.
Lynn Kresge is really, really mad. One tough cookie, that Lynn Kresge.
Crunchy Kresk, as we like to call her.
She's very... What do we call her?
Crunchy Kresk.
Crunchy Kresk?
Yeah.
Do we call her that?
I decided to call her that.
Okay, the Crunchy Kresk is really mad at Eric Rayburn. Those people are dead because of you, Eric. She's like, well, then why didn't you tell David Palmer? And she's like, you idiot, you're the one who stopped me from telling David Palmer. He's like,
yeah.
As far as I know, Jack Bauer never called here. Whatever you think you know, Lynn Kresge, keep to yourself. And she goes, I won't. Anyway, at 11:05, George Mason is talking to the paramedic that just diagnosed him with death.
Yeah.
And he's like, so what should I expect for the rest of the day?
Like, the guy's like, liquefied inside.
George Mason's like, let's prep the audience for what's going to happen to me.
It's not good.
Doesn't look good. Let's prep the audience. What could happen to me? You said I might die in a day. I just would love to know how that's going to go down. I love Xander Berkeley's performance here of like, well, how's this going to go? And the guy's like, well, you may have up to 12 hours of feeling nothing.
Yeah.
How do you feel right now? And George says, like, I want to puke. Yeah. But when the symptoms become more acute, George's hair will start to fall out. Well, I'm used to that. Still has his dry wit, Emily.
I know.
Hasn't gone away.
Mm-hmm. I bet that'll go away with the symptoms, though.
He's going to have bad gastrointestinal distress. He's going to have skin lesions. He's going to be bleeding a lot.
It feels like things are going to go downhill pretty quickly once stuff starts to happen.
That's basically what he's saying, is that once you start feeling the really acute symptoms, it's going to go quickly. Your mental functioning will deteriorate. You're going to lapse into a coma. He's not able to describe it any further than that when CTU calls. It's Tony on the phone, and George, to his credit, wants to take the call. And he's trying to talk Tony through it a little bit. And he's like, Tony, look, you may need to be in charge of this. I might not be coming back. And Tony yells at him.
Well, Tony is not clued in on what's happening.
He doesn't know what's going on.
And that's kind of a frustrating point to .
Keep in mind, George Mason has just found out that he's dying of radiation poisoning and has only known this for less than 10 minutes at this point.
I guess, but wouldn't there be somebody else who's like the go-between that's like, there was a blast on our end of things? Because I think that's important information.
This is where the real-time element, I think, comes into play.
Yeah.
Tony is dealing with the bomb that went off in his office. George is over here.
Yeah.
It's only been 10 minutes. You know, this is a show that takes place over the course of a single day. You imagine this information may cross people's desks at some point in time, possibly, maybe, we will see. We'll see how that goes. Jack Bauer and the Eddie Bauer crew roll up to this random piece of highway, off-highway, and Eddie calls Joseph Wald, who's who Jack wants to get in touch with. He gets the address, he puts it on a matchbook, and this is when Jack Bauer's like, okay, that's really what I came here for. You're all under arrest, and a big firefight breaks out. Between Jack and Eddie, and Jimmy Sims is going to get killed, and the other guy's going to get killed, and Jack's going to kill Eddie as well.
I did not expect this to go as well as it did.
Yeah, you were upset. You're like, why are you arresting Eddie before you have done anything about the other two guys? Because they open fire on Jack because they see him with two guns.
Right, exactly. And I was like, that felt a little short-sighted, but then Jack turned around and killed
him. He just kills them all.
So I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
Sure.
Jack calls Michelle Dessler. What happened? Is everyone all right? She's like, it's not great. It's bad. He's like, are you in enough of a place where you could take a situation report? And I am. So he gives her the news that Joseph Wald's been located. His crew is all dead, and he's heading over to his house right now. Jack also is going to learn here that Kim has been in touch with CTU. So at least he feels good about that, but probably not that great about it.
Yeah.
Michelle is going to pass this message along to Tony, who's like, oh, shit. I totally told Kim to come to CTU. I hope she didn't explode.
Yeah, check the logs.
So I don't know that we ever get closure on that in this episode.
No, I don't think we do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. And some of it is on Paula. They're trying to move the parts off of Paula.
Oh, boy.
And wreckage is falling on her, and it's very, very bad. We go to the hospital, Emily, and this doctor's like, yeah, so Megan has been the victim
routinely
of
abused.
A pattern of physical abuse. And she just, like, kind of death stares Kim. And Kim, you know, sort of, like, blank stares back until she's like, oh, you think I'm doing it? And this woman is like, well, I don't know, and I'm going to let the police sort it out.
Here's one of those moments that, like, I guess I'm a bit of a narc, so this is, like, this comes naturally to me, where I would be like, yeah, it's her father. He's an abusive man. I just found this out today.
Yes. She doesn't really
she needs
do that.
To be better at this to protect herself.
Probably.
Especially since you know this isn't the end of him chasing after her, and the fact that he filed a police report saying that Kim kidnapped Megan, like, come on.
Yeah. Yep.
Get it together, guys.
David Palmer at the Oregon complex, whose name is too complex for me to remember. He's there. They're still dealing with all of the damage reports of what happened to CTU. Eric Rayburn still beating the drum of, let's get everybody out of L.A. We'll do it in stages. But there's the whole thing of, it's going to cause panic. It's going to cause a riot. It's going to make things worse. He's saying, it's going to help you politically, David. And David Palmer says, if the bomb goes off, we're going to have more important concerns than my reelection, Eric.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want anything to be done yet. Jack Bauer is going to call Lynn Kresge, and he's pissed.
He rightfully should be.
He has a great line. He's like, I'm doing my job. When are you people going to start doing yours?
Yeah, because he gave a 30-minute heads up. That's
enough
time.
He gave me 30
time.
Minutes. Yeah. What the hell? Yeah. She's like, well, Jack, it's complicated. You have to start talking faster. It's She's a like, very short podcast, Lynn.
I called CTU, and I spoke to them in a very slow tone, and that's why they weren't able to evacuate in time.
At 11:20, Kate Warner goes to her dad, Bob, aka Christian Shepherd. And she's like, so Ray's is a terrorist. And he goes, what? She's like, yeah, I definitely looked into him. He's a terrorist. And Bob says, I looked into Reza. He's not a terrorist. She's like, you looked into Reza? And he goes, I'm a businessman. My daughters are my most precious assets. I'd never let you get married without doing my due diligence.
What a gross thing to say.
All of this sucks. All of it sucks.
All of it sucks and, so much.
But even Bob is like, Kate, this is the day of the wedding. What are you doing? After all of this time, you're choosing today? Go to lunch with Reza. But Dad, go to lunch with Reza. He's like, oh, I hate my whole family.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's just me because, like, I'm used to seeing him clean shaven from Lost.
Yeah.
But I just keep fixating
on
his,
the goatee.
On his goatee.
The goatee is powerful.
It's
his whole California daddy vibe is very significant.
It really is.
Yeah. He definitely came from some
All
sort
that's
of commune.
Missing is like a robust Cabernet that he like grew on his own.
But
vineyard.
His like shirt is kind of flowy and stuff. He's just got big California daddy vibes.
Yeah, maybe a Zinfandel actually.
Give him a Zinfandel. At 11:28, a moment occurs that my brother and I actually talked about a decent amount on the spoiler podcast when George is in the ambulance and Tony calls and he needs his password and George says it's Hendrix and Tony says with an X and he goes how else would you spell it and my take has always been that like with a CKS probably would have worked. It was a worthy question and my brother's take is that it's Hendrix with an X because George Mason is like secretly a huge Jimi Hendrix fan.
Well duh.
And like it helped Ben have some appreciation for George Mason as a guy that after the very long day that was season one of 24, George Mason went home, poured himself a nightcap and just blasted all along the watchtower. That's a fun little bit of fanficking for George Mason, but he's not loving what he's hearing about Paula, that Paula's not doing well. When he gets off the phone with Tony in the ambulance, he asks the EMTs, am I contagious?
Yeah.
They say no. And at the time you were like, it's a little late for the people in the ambulance.
Yeah.
But clearly he's asking because he now now that he's been given this death sentence, I think he kind of figures Emily like, well, what? Why not just
last
be
last ditch effort of like,
why not
yeah,
just be
all
at
hands
CTU?
On deck? Well, it's also the kind of thing like, would you want to spend your last day if you knew unequivocally that you're going to die by being in the hospital? Like, if there's nothing they can do for you other than maybe keep you a little bit comfortable, I'd be like, nah, I'll take those pills on the road. Like, I got to go do some cool stuff before I die.
He's got stuff to do. So George Mason, the cowardly George, is returning to the heart of the beast. Is that where you go? You go to the belly of the beast, right? Typically. We don't have time to
beasts
litigate
don't
this.
Have hearts,
Jack
Josh.
Bauer shows up to Joseph Wald's house. Eddie's dead. Chris is dead. Scott is dead.
And then
how did they die? I killed them.
And then Uncle Rico is...
Yeah, Uncle Rico is a.k.a. Roger Linus from Lost, a.k.a. Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite, is Joseph Wald in a very brief role here, where Jack is like, I killed him for resisting arrest, and I'll kill you too, Joe. And he grabs Joe's shotgun, which is cool. I always thought this was cool. And Joe's like, but you
guns
killed.
Are cool.
Guns are
Josh.
Cool. Guns are cool.
Young Josh.
Young Josh loved this. He's like, you killed Marshall Gorin. And he's like, yeah, I did it because I had to. And then a dog attacks Jack. We don't need to spend too much time
yada,
talking
yada,
about
yada.
How that goes.
Not well.
Doesn't look good. And then Joseph Wald locks himself inside a safe room in the middle of all of this distraction. And Jack is like, I got to get into the safe room. Kim Bauer's going to call Carla, Gary's wife, Carla Matheson. And she's like, you get my daughter back here now. You took her. And Kim's like, stop covering for Gary. And she's like, oh, I am, aren't I? And then Gary shows up at the door. And that's what the last we see of Carla as she was on her way to the hospital. Gary came back home.
Stupid, stupid, stupid.
We don't check back in with that.
Yep, see you later. Bye.
At 11:40, Jack is still trying to blast into the panic room. He's trying to guilt Joseph Wald into opening the door. And he's like, this is the problem with people like you. You blame the government for everything, for having too much power. You're the one with the power, Joe. What are you going to do with it? This isn't what you wanted. This isn't it. That's what he says.
Yeah.
You don't have anything to say?
Okay. No, not really. No, I mean, it's like a good tactic in terms of psychologically being like, hey.
He is kind
of
guilt tripping him fairly effectively. Mm-hmm. Does seem like Joseph Wald's going to open the door eventually because he feels bad.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you're involved in a nuclear attack on Los Angeles. That's not what you signed on for.
Yeah.
You're a patriot, Joe.
Yeah.
And Joe's like, I am. and I didn't want to do this.
I'm upset.
And I'm upset that I've been tricked into it. Kate and Reza go on a road trip. Rose's like, you don't like me very much, do you? And Kate's like, no, that's stupid. Of course I like you, Reza. We find out that Reza's been like in the business with this family for 3 years. He's been with Marie for 2 years. And Kate is still getting this good hate into Reza and is just now, you know, investigating him and all of this stuff. These are all very bad looks for Kate Warner, I think.
Yeah, Kate kind of sucks.
You could have taken some time to get to know Reza,
yeah.
I think. At CTU, Paula is free and placed on a gurney, and they are going to bring her to the hospital for surgery, except that George Mason returns. He comes back, and he is saying, we are going to need to keep Paula lucid because the NSA did not get all of our backed up files. The encryption code did not come through. Paula is the only one who knows it. We could put IT on it, but it might take hours, and we don't have that kind of time, so we need to wake her up.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony is very mad about this. She deserves a chance to live. He's also getting good hate into George, and George just, you know, at this point where this kind of thing would really bother him in the past, he just says, drop the attitude, Tony. We got to do work.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of weird to see George Mason like doing his job.
Yeah.
Like he's actually kind of doing it.
I know. But like he only has a limited window of time left.
Yeah.
So like it's time to like get into gear. Let's do this. Yeah. And it's like a really tough dynamic to have where obviously you want Paula to receive the treatment she so desperately needs, but everything hinges on her. So what do we do?
That's what Tony and Michelle are going to talk about in a couple minutes here where, you know, Tony had said she deserves a chance to live, but I'm not sure that George was wrong. And I feel so guilty because I'm the one who brought her to CTU. I hired her.
How did you feel about the physical contact that they shared?
She never got a chance to do her job. She did, Tony. And she consoles, Michelle Dessler consoles Tony by
with
placing
her large
her,
tendril.
By placing her hand on the small of Tony's
back.
Are
you sure that wasn't a tendril?
And her tendrils are in her face as Tony stands up, and their faces are so close.
I know. I was like, what is this intimate moment?
Oh, it's so intimate. The tension, Emily.
I know.
Oh my
I don't
God.
Think he ever had that with Nina.
Emily, so I'm watching this show and I'm just watching this scene and I'm like holding my breath and I'm not saying anything. And then I notice that Emily isn't watching the show. You're watching me and you go, you love this, don't you? And I just had to, I was like biting my lip.
Ew.
I was like, I love these characters very much. I have no chill about Michelle Tessler and Tony Almeida.
No
chill. I've conserved so much chill for so many things on this show. I have no chill. I can't keep any poker face around you with Tony and Michelle.
You're literally shaking right now. I'm watching your body just quake.
I can never watch the show again because it's never going to be as good as it is right now ever again. The only way, Emily, is if we ever decide to have a child, when that child turns 24, we will watch the show again with that kid. That's how we'll do it. That's the only way I'll ever revisit any of this stuff. Anyway, so I skipped ahead a little bit. David Palmer is like, Lynn, I know about the CTU call. She's like, I tried to tell you. And she says, I'm going to resign. He's like, no, you're not.
I still trust you.
I still trust you, but I'm definitely going to remember this. He figures out that it was Eric, and then he's going to fire Eric. Eric Rayburn's going to get fired. You're out, Eric. Effective immediately.
Yes.
And Eric's like, you can't fire me, sir. Not now. And he's like, watch me. And so he fires Eric Rayburn. Emily, I've got good news for you. You ready? I don't think we ever see that guy ever
Thank
again.
Thank God.
Pretty sure that's it for Eric Rayburn.
Because I was like, this is going to be some real BS.
Not the last
he, like,
time you ever
shows up.
I don't think you ever. I think you hear his name again, but I don't
he,
think
like,
you ever see that guy.
Slashes Lynn Kresge's tires.
Yeah, that's right. And he writes on the side of her door, Eric was here. No, that doesn't happen.
Okay.
At the end of the episode, Jack Bauer is able to finally break through to Joseph Wald, who opens the door willingly when he realizes his choices are death or going to jail. Or doing the right thing. He decides he's going to tell Jack Bauer who gave him the schematics for CTU, who told him the where and the when and the how. It was a contact that he met twice. He says, the woman who gave me the plans.
Which naturally means that like two-thirds of the entire CTU office are out of out of the picture.
I only met her twice, and Eddie took some pictures, and here are the pictures, but I can't go back to jail. So he kills himself, and Jack Bauer goes, no! Which is great. Every time things go wrong, Jack Bauer screams. Jack grabs the photos. He looks through, and there's that coif, Emily. It's unmistakable. Ooh. Nina Myers with hair even shorter, I think, than it was in season one.
I believe this is the time of our lives back around 2001, 2002, where you would get your hair feathered and layered with a razor blade.
Mm, wow.
That was a real move back then.
Oh my gosh.
I remember watching my very reluctant and probably inexperienced hairdresser at the time when I was in high school, razoring the edges of my hair.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's
we gotta
great.
Go.
We gotta start wrapping this up, actually, Emily. We have a minute left.
Oh my God.
Nina Myers is back in the house.
With that razor hair.
How are you know, a lot of people who were watching the show for the first time for this rewatch especially, like, the Nina twist was interesting, but I feel like I wish I'd known more about why it happened. Well,
I said it was interesting.
Well, good news, folks. This end of the episode makes it pretty clear that Nina Myers is back in the mix. If you wanted to know more about Nina, if you wanted to see a little bit more about what she's actually like, good news. That's happening.
Yes.
Are you excited about that?
I'm so excited. A+.
I'll just say that the Nina Myers that you have yet to meet is a very distinct character, and I'm really looking forward to digging into
Psyched.
All of that. A+, because of the ending, where the rest of the episode was good as well?
The rest of the episode was good, but A+ for Nina.
Okay, A+ for Nina. We're going to come back next week with episode 5, see what happens now that Nina Myers is back in the mix. What's it going to take for Jack Bauer to stay involved? All of the good stuff is happening. Stay tuned for more Worst Day Ever coming your way next week. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.